I guess more continuity in the sense that my predecessor, Kevin Gosper, worked for a period of time. I was his secretary general and understudied under him. And I guess the process now is I view this as my last term. I won't be up for election again. And during this period, bringing on board somebody else to take over.
What would some of your priorities be this time?
More changing the focus of some of our funding. We're the only continent that provides funding for international federation work, and we pay for the experts to deliver it. And it's been a good program that we've had running for about 12 years after the other continent stopped it. And we look at refocusing the money to provide more scholarships for athletes to go for competition, more competition. And that's been the message coming through opportunities, international competition. That's where we're looking to start moving some of the money. The Oceania Foundation program, which has also got scholarships for the United States, and they're looking at commitments for Olympic committees. Most of our other programs are going quite well in terms of the commission work, support for athletes on the medical and all those other areas. So continuing with what works well, but put more money into the athletes competition-wise.
ONOC has its first Olympic gold in the bag from the Fiji Sevens team. Where do you think the next gold medal might come from, and what can ONOC do to make that happen?
Golds are very hard to come by for very small populations, and I think the stats that I've used is that every 60 years, a country the size of Fiji usually wins. But this one seemed to work quite well in the sense that it's 60 years since Fiji joined the Olympic movement. It's pretty tough. We've got a gold and two silvers. Samoa won their silver medal from the Beijing Games, and Tonga in boxing. So it's more to identify the sports that we do well with, and I think we're getting there. But in team sports, that makes it even more difficult. I'm not sure where we can look at, but I would say in some of the events like boxing, but now because it's become semi-professional in a sense, you need to be out there boxing, and our athletes are still not getting out there.
Can you explain a little bit about the Olympic Solidarity Program and how important the funds that are available from that to the Pacific, and are the countries in the Pacific getting the most out of it?
For most of our members, 15 out of the 17, it's their only source of sports development. It's the money that's derived from the television rights that are sold to broadcast the Olympic Games. And since I've been involved in the Olympics, that fund has become bigger and bigger amount. Mm-hmm. That's available. The changes in the last 8 years means that we as a continent can decide how we spend that money and in what area. So it's a very, very important source of funding. The change for the next 4 years is that some of the programs that we've run ourselves are now being taken up into the world programs. So Olympic committees don't have to rely on ONOC. They can apply directly to IOC for supplementary funding. So if they make use of that opportunity, they can provide a lot more support for their own athletes. So the Olympic committees basically are made up of national federations. National federations are the ones that deliver the sports and actually run it. So we're looking at money coming through solidarity to ONOC, and we're looking at money that goes to the federations also come down to the national federations.
After the Pacific Games in Port Moresby, there was talk of ONOC setting up a high-performance unit similar to that which worked well for Team PNG. Is that idea still on the agenda?
For me personally, no. Difficult, eh? Probably only PNG can afford it. Fiji has a version of it. But it's to run a high-performance unit, you need technical staff that are not always available locally. For me, at this stage, it's more the regional high-performance centres and the more likely one. And the best example is the Oceania weightlifting, where it's situated in the islands, where the climate is similar, food is similar to where you come from. Language may be a slightly different issue, but you're there with a group of high-performance athletes from the islands. A high-performance population is quite small, except for the countries that have team sports like rugby, and World Rugby supports those sports quite well in the high-performance unit that they set up. It's something that comes up, but I think the reality, we have Australia with all the Institute of Sports, we have access in New Zealand, and we have access in the United States, and we still work with a group in the northwest of England. So if we have really talented athletes, we have places that we can put them in where we don't have to maintain equipment that we can't afford or specialists that we can't afford to pay either, let alone supplement the athletes with better food and nutrition and support. Several years ago at a forum meeting in Samoa, Pacific leaders approved the setting up of a high-performance unit in USB centers in Fiji, Samoa and Vanuatu. It hasn't happened because I think they recognize the cost of doing that.